What's that? No. Yeah. I guess if you have a school bus business, then you can't really be late, or a taxi business, or Uber driver, or teachers. Okay. Taking a little turn this morning of Acts. So we've been hitting Acts, right? We've been in Acts and Acts. But with everything that happened this week, we're jumping off of Acts, and I wanted to just discuss everything that kind of what we saw take place. And this was like a crazy week, right? Not only did we have 9/11, which we all, like, 9/11 came, like, it comes and goes. So it's like you can picture yourself exactly where you were at that time, right? I do. Every time 9/11, I just remember that day and where I was and all that stuff. But then we had these other events that unfolded. So we jumped off of Acts, and we're going to be in 1 Peter today. The title of the message today is Sorrow and Blessing. So that's what we're going to be looking at today, sorrow and the blessing. But last night, Jen and I, there's a spot that we like to sit up on a hill. And so a lot of times we'll order some hamburgers or cook some hamburgers and sit out on this hill and kind of watch the sunrise and stuff over the fields. And so we were doing that last night, and across the distance, we heard the band. So the Twin Valley Band was going last night. So you're going to get some band jokes this morning. Why did the drummer complain about his salad? He didn't have any beets. Yeah, two stars out. What makes music in your hair? Well, some of us. Music in your hair. A headband. Okay. What type of music do golf clubs and playgrounds like? The swing. Yeah, the swing music. All right, okay. And what musical style are all national anthems? Every national anthem is this musical style. It's country. Country music. Okay, anyway, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get into more serious stuff, right? So, Lord, thank you for this morning, Lord. I just pray that you will have your Spirit speak to us, encourage us on how we can be better believers, how we can serve you better, how we can stand for when questions are asked, that you will provide us answers of wisdom to talk to people. And just give us that wisdom, Lord. And just speak to me this morning. Speak through me this morning. Just have your word touch our hearts that we can minister to others. In your name we pray. Amen. So this past week, does everyone know who Charlie Kirk is in here? Okay. So this assassination of Charlie Kirk. So I was in Miami, Justin and I were down at this show, and I get this text from Jen that says Charlie Kirk has just been shot. I was like, what? So then we were kind of following and updating and watching what was going on, and so Charlie Kirk. As many of you know or don't know or didn't know prior, but he was a political activist, really. That's what his organization was. And he would go onto campuses, schools, campuses, and he would talk to students and young people about the United States. He would talk to them about the ideals of America, about our Constitution, the rights and the freedoms that our students, that we have, right, that we all have, that our students have, that they weren't getting the information. And not just was he a political activist promoting those things, but he was also a deep believer and love the Lord and constantly proclaim the gospel as he talked to people at these events. He was murdered in Utah and shot in the neck from a disturbed young man. And so they said. So as this unfolded, of course, you know, Charlie Kirk, as a believer, as a political act conservative, you know, pushing conservative values based on what Scripture says, right? That's really when you pull that onion back. What he was promoting and what our country has been built on was biblical values. And that's what he was for the last, how many years since he started Turning Point USA? I think it was 2012 that he started, or just a young guy. He was 31 years old. 31 years old and cut off. Young, married, two children. And as that took place, the effects that I saw, because I listened to Charlie, not all the time, and I loved what he did because he's hitting the younger generation. The effect that that had on, like, when, so Justin and I were at this show, Justin is 20, and he's like, wow, this really hits home. He's like, I don't know the guy, like, personally, but he was my same age. He was in my same time of life, young children, wife. He was promoting the ideals that I promote myself of Christian values and freedoms that we have in the United States. And as that unfolded, other people, that same age group, because Charlie Kirk was hitting this age of people, and they were called Turning Point USA, right? Because so many people of the younger have been filled with propaganda from the left. Sorry, I'm just going to say propaganda from the left, propaganda from evil desires, wrong thoughts about Christianity, wrong thoughts about how God created men and women, wrong thoughts about all sorts of things in this deception, that age group, and they were pulling this age group back, and people were waking up and seeing that what Scripture says is true. So here was a man, 31 years old, and that's what he was out promoting. He was promoting the ideals of biblical values that we have in the United States and our freedoms. So we were, and as we were there, like, I talked to people that were next to me at this show, and this group, they sold catfish, right? That's what their business was, catfish, frozen catfish, best catfish I've ever eaten in my life. But anyhow, they 65-year-old lady, 67, I'm sorry, and their group was from all over the South, and they all knew who Charlie Kirk was. Guys next to us over here, they're from the Carolinas, and this guy was getting ready to retire, and he was talking about them. We got in all these discussions because he was from Charlotte and talked about this lady that was just stabbed, and he was horrified that in his home state, we're talking as country brothers, right? Like, just countrymen from our country. And he was saying that, you know, how horrible it was that this lady was murdered on this, it was a train or a bus or something, like subway. Nobody helped her for 45 minutes. Like, no one got up. No one helped to try to stop the bleeding. She bled out right there on the subway. So all these things are taking place in our country. So then, and then we go back to the, and this is the line that you kind of see. So then we go back, and now we're in Miami. It's very, the culture there is very Hispanic, very Puerto Rican, very Spanish, right, in Miami. And we go and back to the hotel that same day. And there's the guy behind the counter, 28-year-old young man, 28, 29, has a young baby, not married, but he's been with his girlfriend for 8 years. And we had a great discussion, you know, about the Lord and where he was. And that's a whole nother side note. But he said, did you hear about Charlie Kirk? because Charlie Kirk was hitting this generation, a generation younger than me, right? Hitting my kids' age, much younger. Come on. So hitting my age that are my kids, hitting an age that people were starting to wake up. When I was in school, they were getting what I was getting. Love America, love your country, love your family, serve others, help others, right? That's what these people were starting to get. And this guy who was from Hispanic family and descent and everything, he knew and talked about Charlie Kirk, and he said what he loved about him is he supported the family. So Charlie crossed that line of, really not race, because he was looking at it as we're Americans. We're people that are coming together as people of our nation. So he was murdered, assassinated. And then, so I wanted to look this morning because then I started to read a lot, about just some other quotes. And, before we even get into that, when this happened, it really took me to, Alveda King, right? So Martin Luther King's niece, she's had three assassinations in her family. Her father, her grandmother, and her uncle, Martin Luther King. And so she had an interview that she gave, because as she says, and she's coming at it just exactly where we're coming at it as Christians. She as a believer talked about the situation and talked about we need to turn to prayer and she went over that. So what's this mean to us? Where's our society? What's going on? What is going on when we as Americans in the United States, people throughout the world that they can't speak without being assassinated? Is that anything new? It's nothing new. It's happened forever. So this is nothing new. 1 Peter chapter 3. As we deal with sorrow, because we know that the Kirk family is going through a huge amount of sorrow, and there's a lot of students across the country who had an awakening in their mind, not just for politics, spinning off of politics now, but for what? For the gospel, for who Jesus Christ is. They had an awakening on Jesus Christ, and they go back to know that Charlie Kirk was the one that presented the gospel to them and found salvation. So where does this leave us in today's society? First Peter, and First Peter is written by Peter to Christians. And in verse 8, it starts with this. First Peter 3, verse 8. We're going to go to 22. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For, and this, he repeats Psalms 34, parts of Psalm 34 in verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and to do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. This is from Peter. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope, which is our hope in Jesus Christ, right? Our Savior. that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, through whom also we went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Okay, so now there's a lot of stuff in there, right? And there's a lot of stuff in doctrinally, so we can go over with this, we can break this out for a long time, but I really wanted to focus in on the verses of 13 through 15, 16, 17. Because we know when we see these assassinations, when we see people who are cut off. Charlie Kirk was 31 years old. 31 years old. Martin Luther King Jr. was 38 years old. 38 years old. Martin Luther King Jr., once again, a believing, God-fearing man. You know, he was trying to get freedom, right, for people different countries than us, for the African American society to have freedom. That's a good cause, isn't it? Great cause. But what happened? Poof, assassinated. Charlie Kirk, same thing. What was he trying to do? He was trying to promote the freedoms, God-fearing man, trying to promote the freedoms that are given to us in our Constitution by our founding fathers, promoting what our country stands for, and poof, cut off. 31 years old. 31 years old. This is what Mrs. King says. She did an interview. And this is what she said. After the assassination of Charlie Kirk at a college campus on Wednesday, Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, encouraged people to pray. It broke my heart, she said, when asked about her reaction to learning of the assassination. I was so very startled when I got the news that Charlie had been shot, and my heart immediately went to him and his family, his beautiful wife and his little children. For me, I am a Christian. I still have the peace and the joy of the Lord, but it's almost like a trauma or a trigger point when these things happen. And this is a lady that three in her family, right? She understands. And then she goes on to say, she was calling Charlie Kirk a man of faith. King said she will remember him with the scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's how she will remember him. I'll read that real quick. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these things remain. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 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 Our spirit, our God, our Savior commands us as believers to what? To love one another. Right? Someone that kills somebody, we're still supposed to love them. I'm not saying I'm not for capital punishment and these other things. I believe that everyone has the opportunity for forgiveness. And I also know that scripture teaches that there's payment for or penalties that you commit in human society. But nonetheless, we're supposed to love people, right? We're supposed to love people. We get into this thing, we get into this structure now of hate and love, right? It's a spiritual battle. This is what this young guy in Miami, who wasn't walking and walking his life right now with the Lord. He was not, he's unmarried, has a child, not walking in a biblical manner. And as we talked about the Lord, I directed him to some good Bible-believing Calvary chapels actually down in Miami that he said he was going to try to plug into and take his family to after we talked. But anyhow, he said to me, well, this is a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. And I'm like, you are 100% right. And the spiritual battle comes down to this. Jesus Christ, who gave us salvation, who died for it, he died for me, he died for you, he died for the man, Charlie Kirk, he died for President Trump, he died for Putin, he died for the Pope, he died for everybody, for the salvation of all humanity, that love was given from Jesus Christ. And we're called now as believers, as Christ's followers, are we supposed to take up arms and are we supposed to be hating people? Are we supposed to? No, we're supposed to love, right? We're supposed to love. Going back to 1 Peter, and these are the verses that I really wanted to look at here. 13, verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Good question. That's a good question, right? Who is eager to harm Charlie Kirk? Somebody was eager to, right? Somebody was eager to harm Martin Luther King. Somebody was eager to harm, which we just talked about this the other week, James. Somebody was eager to harm all the apostles. Somebody was eager to harm. Now this is a different one because this is Jesus, right? But Jesus was perfect. Jesus had to die. As we know, but before that, somebody was eager to harm John the Baptist. Somebody was eager to harm, as we know in all of Old Testament, the prophets that were killed and murdered and assassinated. Why? Why does it take place? Because we find, just like with this one, here's a guy who all he's doing is confronting society. He's confronting what deception and what sin and evil is taking place in society and changing our minds and our hearts to sin and unrighteousness, where Scripture says we need to live this way. We need to love people. We need to follow what Scripture says. We need to come to Jesus Christ and give our life to Jesus Christ and believe that he has taken our sins and know that he is resurrected. And that's what gives us salvation. That's there's this good and this evil. And it's been taking place forever, this battle. The battle. It's a hate and it's love. It really, hate and a love. This whole thing that happened this week was a hate and love. Charlie Kirk, shot, assassinated. He loved people. He spoke very to the point about sin, and people didn't like that. He confronted the culture and said, this is the way we are to live in our society, and this is the way we are to live as Christians. He hit both of those very hard. The other side says we can live any way we want, and if you speak like that, man, it's driving up my hate and my anger and my evil. And you know what? You need silenced. And same thing with John the Baptist, right? Same thing with Dr. Martin Luther King. Same thing with the apostles. Same exact thing. Hate, Christians we're supposed to love. As a Christian, we're supposed to know what? And this is where we need to remember for ourselves. In verse 14. But even if you should suffer, just like Charlie did, for what is right, you are blessed. You're blessed. And then Scripture goes on to tell us, which we have to remember as believers, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Jeff, do not be frightened. Why? Because our God of love is all powerful. And even if we are assassinated and murdered for what we're speaking the truth of Scripture, we get a blessing. And Charlie knew that. Dr. Martin Luther King knew that. The apostles knew that. John the Baptist knew that. We have to continue to speak truth. And our society is becoming more and more divided between hate and love. The same exact day. This was September 10th, right? September 10th that Charlie Kirk was assassinated because of what he promoted of free speech, our Constitution, and how we are created and designed to live under God and promoting Christ. The same day, so this guy filled with hate and evil assassinated him. Couple hours before, and I didn't do the time frame. In France, same day, France, there's a man. He's in a wheelchair. And this guy, his name is Ashur Sarnaya. He's a 45-year-old Iraqi Christian. Did you hear this? No, you don't hear it. Why? Because he's not a big name. It's just a guy. It's just a guy in a wheelchair. Iraqi Christian, you know, he's not promoted. He wasn't standing on and promoting and had a big stage, he didn't have a big platform. Here was a guy, 45-year-old guy, who was in a wheelchair, who was disabled because he was beaten, and he escaped Iraq because of him being a Christian. He escaped Iraq, and he's living in South France, in Lyons, in France. So on this day, September 10th, the same exact day that this hateful spirit that was here killed a man who was promoting love, and same thing happened in France. Same day. Same spirit of evil and hatred was taking place over here. So this guy... And both of these events were captured and shown on the internet. I didn't watch it, but people told me that you could see Charlie from every angle, like when he got shot, it was just same with this man. He's in France. He's live streaming. So what this guy was murdered for, Sarnaya, he was, because he spent his time then live streaming on TikTok. So he was in the midst of a live stream in France to minister to and promote the gospel to Muslims, because he was an ex-Muslim who came to know the Lord, and he was spending years on TikTok reaching Muslim people of why Jesus Christ is the Savior, why Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, that to turn Muslims to Christ. So he was on TikTok live streaming same day, and as he was on TikTok live streaming, someone came in and stabbed him and killed him right there while he was live streaming. It was captured all on video. That was, and the whole reason was, the whole entire reason I mean, he was in a wheelchair. It was because what he spoke. Because he was confronting society where their culture in France and over in many parts of Europe and many parts of the Arabic world, right? They hate Christians. They're promoting the Islamic extremism to kill Christians. And this guy, just like Charlie Kirk, two men that same day, martyrs for Jesus Christ. Did they meet in the air at the same time? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it was almost around that same time. Jesus tells us in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, I mean, we're going to jump there and end up with this. Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Christ's words. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, Jeff. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, Janet, when people insult you. Blessed are you, Veronique, when people insult you. Salome, blessed are you when people insult you for what you're standing for. Gavin, blessed are you when you're in high school and you're doing something and you stand for what's right and you're persecuted for that. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad, he says, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This evil, blessed are you, Joe. You know, if you're persecuted at work. Amy, same as you. Well, you're in a Christian school, right? So hopefully you're not being persecuted. But if you are, it's possible. Esther, blessed are you if you're persecuted. Gil, same. Joanne, same. All of us. Blessed are us if we are persecuted. Charlie Kirk was persecuted. Charlie Kirk was murdered. Ashur in France was persecuted. He was murdered. Assassinated, persecuted, blessed are they. Those two men are martyrs for Jesus Christ. Martyrs. Different level. The apostles. Martyrs for Jesus Christ. Stephen. Martyr for Jesus Christ. The prophets. Being prophetic of who Jesus Christ and his coming. Martyred for Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself tells us. And blessed. I'm going to read his words again, because that's why we're here. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, people. Rejoice and be glad. And then we to 1 Peter, and this is two things. When we get to 1 Peter, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Because if we are wiped out, we come back now to Matthew, and Jesus said, you're blessed. If you're persecuted for my name's sake, you have a blessing. That's what we need to remember. Many times we cower. We don't say what we should. Especially when you're maybe out of your element. You might not say things where we should as much as we need to. And once again, since we were looking at Peter, same thing happened to Peter. As a young disciple, when Christ was being taken in to be crucified, what do we know that happened to Peter? Peter, the apostle Peter, much greater man than me, denied Christ three times. So even if we fall, even if we have a bad time, we break down and lose our testimony, do not fear, right? Christ still loves us. Get back on that horse. Get back in the game. That's what Peter did. Jesus knew he was going to do it. Jesus still loved him. Peter still went on to be a great apostle in the church to promote and to push the gospel of our Savior. So let's not fear. Let's not be afraid. Let's not, as Scripture tells us, return evil for evil. Let's take a blessing when we can take a blessing if that's what it's going to be, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the hope. I thank you for the wisdom that is in your word, Lord. I thank you for men throughout history that have risen to the occasion and continued to push back at society's evils with your word, and they weren't afraid and they weren't frightened. And they knew the cost, just like the apostles knew the cost. Lord, help us to know those costs. Help us to not be frightened. And Lord, I just pray for this church, that this church will be a lighthouse for those, not a church that's just not being, just kind of being a free-for-all in society, but that we will be teaching and training people how to speak biblical knowledge and biblical wisdom and your salvation in a loving and respectful way, just like Peter tells us, that our church will be doing that. That we just won't be like accept everything that comes down the pike, because we know, Lord, there's a good and there's an evil. And we want to be on the good. We want to be loving people. We want to be helping people. We want to be reaching into people that are hurting and are totally different than us, that are filled with all kinds of sin, and knowing that your salvation reaches into their pit and my pit, and you pull us out and say, come to me. I'm going to heal you. I love you. And follow me, Lord. I pray that our church will follow you, Lord. I pray that you'll bring people here that want to follow you. That's my prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your love. And Lord, I just pray for Charlie Kirk's family and his wife and his young children. And I pray for those people that are searching that knew of him or knew him that might be really confused, Lord, that your spirit will lead them to this understanding of the gospel. Lord, I pray for that as your spirit moves in so many great and fascinating directions, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed, and there's once again a special delight of pie in a cup, right? So you can have those. And then once again, if you want to come to action, 1 o'clock, just bring whatever food you want and your swimsuit. And I know Janet's bringing her swimsuit today. Yeah, you can get whatever.